first things first. Jenna Wolf, Hall of Famer Chris Carter, everything on? Can you hear everything?
Yeah, you are too loud.
I'm too loud, yes. Well, I get told that a lot. This right here is Nick Wright. We got a very big Tuesday show for you today. I tried to go lower for one sentence and it didn't work.
Good to see you.
I'm gonna jack that volume back up again. The Warriors are retiring Kevin Durant's jersey. Durant's new teammate, Kyrie Irving, he's excited for his homecoming. And the Lakers are putting every last ounce of stock in the hopes of landing.
Jenna's rapping early on today's show. That's yesterday it took a while for her to start rapping.
Start this
today
morning.
It's a little early.
We're good?
Hop.
If it's in the hop. Lakers already boast two of the best players in the league in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The potential on this team would be indescribable if they were to add, say, a talent like Kawhi Leonard. NBA insider Arash Markazi was on The Herd yesterday, said the Lakers are, quote, quietly confident they will sign the finals MVP. See, what do you think? Do the Lakers have to get Kawhi to compete for the title this season?
Well, this is the thing. All the reports right now, everyone's got confidence. First, Toronto, they have confidence because they have the recent experience with Kawhi, and they know that they're going to get the last presentation to Kawhi in his team. So they're confident in that. The Clippers, they're confident. They thought that the Lakers would never be able to match or build a clear enough cap space after the Anthony Davis. So everyone seems like they should have confidence. But right now, I can tell all the teams, they shouldn't have any confidence because they don't know what Kawhi is going to do. He just started the process. Now, I know we've seen it. I think $1,700 million contracts, over $3 billion the NBA spent, but still no one knows what Kawhi is going to do. I have a good feeling of what he's going to do, but he just started the process basically yesterday morning. It's going to be a process that I believe is going to take us until after the 4th of July. But the Lakers and LeBron, if they want to win multiple championships, that should be the question. Because they can compete for a championship with Anthony Davis and LeBron. But the best situation for them moving forward, Anthony Davis, 27, Kawhi Leonard, 28 recently. If they want to compete over the next 4 or 5 years and be able to extend that career that LeBron James wants to, this would be the move because it should push LeBron back to his more natural as a distributor, as a point guard, and he's got two of the elite defenders at their position in Kawhi and AD that he's going to be a better defender as he gets older because of that. But absolutely, yes, they should sign Kawhi if the Lakers are doing what the Lakers have done the last 40 years compared to what they've done, Nick, the last six.
All right, first of all, I have a big gripe to pick with you. I'm going to start the show with it. I'm on about 2 hours less sleep than I need to be because my partner, my friend Chris Carter, did not share with me the information he could have shared, at least with me, if not the entire world, around 10 p.m. last night, which was that everyone can go to bed. That you knew nothing was happening yesterday. You come in this morning, you're like,
I was
should I have tweeted
time.
This out?
Yeah, I should have put Twitter in all the Kawhi to L.A. night last night.
Yeah,
you're right.
You should have told, at the very least, told me nothing's happening last night because you got word around 10 p.m. I'm up till 12:30 refreshing my phone like a lunatic. So, okay, so now that that's dealt with, let's talk about the question at hand. The Lakers for this upcoming season are rapidly approaching a bit of a point of no return. We talked about how
if
after
they're not they, already there.
If it, right. We talked about that if when they signed Anthony Davis, when we didn't know if they would have the max cap space, could they construct a viable, not just contender, but a championship favorite without a third max player?
23 to 26 million.
Right. And I said the answer was yes, because I thought you could get Seth Curry for $7 to $8 million. Well, he just signed for $8 million. I thought you could get Patrick Beverley for around $10 million.
He just signed
for what was $13 million, so he got a little more than I expected. Because the Clippers, by the way, they didn't want to wait anymore. They knew they weren't going to get the two max guys they had the availability for. So they said, we can leave money for Kawhi and still start dealing with some of our business. I want America to see the best available free agents, at least according to my rankings. Here's the five guys. It's the best player available, Kawhi Leonard, arguably the best player in the league. Then Boogie, who does not fit with the Lakers. Danny Green, who fits great, more on him in a moment. Marcus Morris, who I like, but is a forward they don't need. Kelly Oubre is a wing who does not shoot very well. When we are talking about adding guards to the roster, which is what they need if they don't get Kawhi Leonard, the best available point guard is TJ McConnell. And T.J. McConnell's been a nice player for Philadelphia. After that, you're talking about Justin Holiday. What about trying to get a resurgence out of Avery Bradley? Those are the names we're talking about because the Lakers have been in a holding pattern on Kawhi. Now, I mentioned Danny Green. Danny Green seems to be waiting for Kawhi's decision.
Yes.
Meaning that if Kawhi picks the Clippers or the Raptors, I would imagine Danny Green is not then going to go sign with the Lakers. He will likely try to join Kawhi, either back in Toronto to run it back or potentially with the Clippers, with the Mavericks being involved. So the Lakers, can they compete with LeBron and Anthony Davis? Yes. Can they compete for a championship? Yes. But are they going to be in the weakest position they could have been in with two players that good as far as rest of the roster, given what they gave up for Anthony Davis and the way they have sat out free agency waiting on Kawhi? That's not the position that they plan to be in. It will all be worth it if they get the reigning finals MVP, Kawhi Leonard. But if they don't get him, you are going from a five-star steak dinner to just a couple street guard hot dogs. And that is the position the Lakers are finding themselves in.
With everything we know about Kawhi, with where he's from, with where he wants to end up, with who he's looked up to, with the guys that he wants to play with, and how much he likes winning because he just did it, give me a reason why he wouldn't choose the Lakers.
Well, they had Magic in Toronto. And you have to realize the Clippers and the Lakers are in the same building. The Clippers, from a roster standpoint, do they have more depth? Yes. As far as Kawhi wanting to play with certain players, Kawhi's not ignorant. Kawhi realizes that he's got two championships and he'd like to have four and the better players, but the players aren't going to dictate where he decides to go to work. There are going to be a number of things. The medical staff, time management, workload, how much he's going to have to play, those types of things are going to have to be worked out. What's the style? How they plan to use him? How's he going to grow his game? Toronto already has the answers for all those things. So they're just waiting for an opportunity. The Lakers had some explaining to do based on what we've been reporting. Kawhi is not naive to that. They had to be able to be explained those things. And the Clippers have always been in it as far as with Jerry West and Doc Rivers. So the Lakers, he had to get more familiar with the Lakers than any of the other organization. That's why it's going to take some time and some patience.
All three teams have a very compelling pitch. The Raptors' pitch is obvious. We just won the title. Gasol opted back in. We can run it back. No one has ever been the finals MVP and walked away from that team unless they were walking to retirement. Guys don't do that. You can own a country for basketball fans. That's their pitch. The Clippers' pitch is, look at what we did without a star. Look at who our coach is. Look at who our team president is. And, oh, by the way, we're also in Los Angeles. The Lakers' pitch is very simple. We give you the best chance to win multiple championships. You and Anthony Davis can be the best duo in basketball 3 years from now to 10 years from now. Forget the LeBron part of it. And LeBron James, find a great player who's played with LeBron who right now doesn't speak glowingly of him. And as far as growing his game, which is something you've talked about, the only part of Kawhi's game that is not an A or an A+ is his distributing the basketball. A guy same size, same position as Kawhi, who could teach him to a degree how to become a better distributor of the basketball, that is LeBron James. So all three teams have a great pitch, which is why it's such a tough decision for Kawhi that Chris is reporting is going to take a few more days.
I think the two things the Lakers can offer that no other team can offer, and that's the workload management, even though they tried that in Toronto. But with him, LeBron, and AD, they can do it in a way that no one can do it. And there's no team that can say that Kawhi grew up watching but the Lakers.
Moving on to Kevin Durant now. After just three seasons with the Warriors, Joe Lacob announced that as long as he's running the team, nobody will wear KD's number 35 jersey, even though number 35 is no longer on the team. And why is that exactly? According to reports, Kevin Durant had grown weary of perpetual drama in Golden State, both on and off the court, ultimately taking his talents to Brooklyn. Nick, did the Warriors take KD for granted?
No, and this story annoys me a bit because when Kevin Durant is tired of the perpetual drama, someone has to have some introspection and recognize he was the source of an enormous amount of that drama. I understand he did not cause Draymond Green to curse at him and yell at him and call him out his name, but the Warriors took swift action there, if you remember. They suspended Draymond. They did everything they could to wrap their arms around Kevin Durant. Now, he has serious cause for anger and distrust based on what happened with his injury, whether it was misdiagnosed the way Iggy's was, whether he was pressured to get back on the court, all of that. But this idea that there was too much drama, Kevin Durant was the source of so much of that drama. And Howard Beck reported in a really good article on Bleacher Report what finally someone actually put a pin in what so many of us had heard, which is KD and Kyrie started talking about playing together a full year ago, before the season even started. And for KD to do that and then to get so upset that everyone is talking about his free agency, which then leads to the drama, which then is the excuse for his exit. KD left because, as some of the Golden State reporters have put it better than I could, he's a seeker. He's someone who's looking for what's next, looking for more. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's not pin it on, oh, this drama-filled organization. That is, he didn't sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He signed with a team that had won championships, that had a culture.
He didn't feel stability, it seemed, the Golden State Warriors.
He didn't feel fully appreciated by the fans, which there's nothing you can do about the fans. The fans were always going to give most favored nation status to Steph Curry. And by the media, he could have done a better job in cultivating his image with the media. He didn't want to. That is not on Golden State. I've been highly critical of Golden State for a number of things, but there was nothing they could have done to keep Kevin Durant. He thought about leaving a year ago. We all knew he was going to leave this year. They offered him a full max, even though he has a torn Achilles, so I don't buy the drama part of this scene.
No, I don't believe the drama. When they came together, there was already a baked-in prenup. We're going to get married, but we're going to get divorced. Like, Kevin Durant is not born of the Golden State system, and he doesn't have the personality that now that he reached what he thought he was going to reach, being a champion and being an MVP of the finals, I don't think Kevin Durant got some of the things that he thought he was just going to automatically.
Yeah.
And that was best basketball player in the world and maybe some more respect that would camouflage him from some of the criticism that superstars get. But that didn't happen. Kevin Durant was always going to leave Golden State. It was always going to be what's going to be the next team, because he'll never be to Golden State what Steph Curry was. Klay Thompson, he'll never be. You can't expect, like, for these guys to get drafted, to go through troubling times, go through a different coach. Are we going to extend them? Man, is he going to be a player? They develop in the All-Stars. Best backcourt we've ever seen, and to think that you're going to be on the same footing where they won a championship before you got there. If they hadn't won, if they had gotten upset twice, and then KD comes there, wins, gets them over the hump, yeah. But no, this was always going to be a situation where Kevin Durant was going to have to leave, and now it's just a matter of what kind of excuse are we going to make? And for me, I don't believe you have to make an excuse. For Kevin Durant's legacy, he's got to go somewhere else. For his legacy off the court, building what he wants to build, he's got to be able to go somewhere else like New York.
But they also changed their style of play when Kevin Durant got there, from a pass-happy team to a team in a system that would fit Kevin Durant. I lived through all the New York City Yankees stuff when, you know, Derek Jeter was the guy, and then Alex Rodriguez came in and felt like he wasn't completely embraced
right
by the New York
City, won championships
because they won
before.
Championships with Derek Jeter. It's the same thing. Is there anything else the Warriors you think could have done differently?
Well, I don't think the Warriors could have done anything different. But also, if you speak to the overall sports character, the stability in those two stars you mentioned, there is a hell of a difference between Derek Jeter and what he does on a daily basis today compared to A-Rod. And there will be a distinction between Steph Curry, what he's doing, what his brand is, that family. Man, yeah, he's got a mob of people, but you know something? Most of them are related to him.
Well, so that's a really important point, see. Marcus Thompson, who literally wrote a book on Kevin Durant, wrote an article, kind of a postmortem of what happened. And he said for Kevin Durant, it was about friendship. And not that Steph and he weren't friends, but that when Kevin Durant got to Golden State, Steph was in a position not that dissimilar to the way I'm not great about making new friends because I'm married with kids and I work really hard. And so I just don't have a ton of time. One of the reasons Chris and I were able to become so close when we did in L.A. was I was in L.A. by myself. I wasn't there with my – I think about this sometimes, that if my family had come with me to L.A., would you and I have spent so much time together, got to know each other as well? Kevin Durant was looking for that. Marcus Thompson writes this. He knows him very well. Steph has a circle. Steph's circle is, to C's point, it's related to him. It's family. It's a few people that work for him and blood relatives and people that he's been around his whole life, which is totally understandable. What Kevin Durant found in Kyrie Irving is someone in the same place of life, yep, someone that's also looking for new things, that is falling down rabbit holes on the internet, that they have so many similarities. And for Kevin Durant, that it was, he wanted to find that, according to Marcus Thompson, that connection in Golden State. Who's he going to find it with? Klay's doing his own thing. Draymond is a new father as well, and he and KD weren't never on the exact same page. Steph is a married family man doing his own business things. So he ends up hanging out with Quinn Cook. He ends up hanging out with the young guys, like, and that's not who he is either. And so that is where, when Kyrie Irving, he found a guy who is under similar scrutiny, who is in a similar place in life, who they can relate to. And that is totally understandable and totally reasonable. No one, I think, begrudges him that. But that's something Golden State could never provide for him. The other thing, see, that was in these articles that we pointed out at the time and laughed about, but I think it speaks to the fact that multiple people brought it up, about the sensitivity that Golden State had to be over with Kevin Durant. Three different articles I read mentioned the joke Bob Myers made at the parade last year. Do you remember that about Steph Curry got his contract because he's earned it, he's been here the whole time, we don't know if KD's going to get that? That really bothered Kevin Durant.
It should have.
And if that's going to, but that shows you where his head was at, even off back-to-back finals MVPs, the GM makes an offhanded joke and it sticks with him for a year.
Yep, Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin is a different guy. That doesn't make him better or worse than some of the other stars. But the legacy that Kevin Durant wants to have on and off the basketball court, it could have never been done in Golden State. Kevin Durant did, and I'm happy for him. He did what was right for him. He wanted to go someplace, big city, establish his own franchise, and he has that in Brooklyn, even though Kyrie Irving is his buddy, his teammate, and he's going to run with him. But that's Kevin Durant's team.
Time for stories to start your morning. According to reports, the Lakers, who have already fitted LeBron James and Anthony Davis for jerseys, are quietly confident they will sign Kawhi Leonard as well. See, do the Lakers need to get Kawhi if they want to compete for a title this season?
Yes, absolutely. All the free agents are gone. And not only this season, but multiple championships. But this year, it's important. Kawhi Leonard, he is the catch of free agency. And let's not forget, his original request when he wanted out of San Antonio, I want to go to Los Angeles, to the Lakers. That was the first request.
The analogy that I thought put it best was someone on Twitter. Do you remember the old game show Deal or No Deal, where you have the suitcases with money? The Lakers are now to where they got three suitcases left. One's got $1 million. The other has $5 and $10, and there's no in-between. It was beginning of free agency. It's like, we'd like the million, but we'll deal with the 50 or the 75 or the 100,000. No. It's because all those guys are gone, and the best available guard on the market might be TJ McConnell. You are really all in on Kawhi Leonard. It is the ultimate boom or bust moment for the Lakers.
All right, moving on to the Celtics. Oh, you mentioned it, Nick. Boston signing Enes Kanter to a 2-year, $10 million deal. He'll look to fill the void of Boston losing Al Horford, who ended up going to the 76ers. Nick, you like the move by Boston?
Enes Kanter's an excellent offensive player. He is not quite the turnstile he once was defensively, but he's still an enormous negative defensively. Joel Embiid, of course, if they were to play in the playoffs, would eat him alive. Boston's doing the most they can in a rough situation, but I'll say it again. The plan was Kyrie, Anthony Davis. It turned into Kimba, Enes Kanter with no Al Horford. That ain't great.
And Kemba at the point guard is not going to help them defensively.
Right.
They are going to struggle from a what style of defense are they going to play. It will be a challenge. How many wins can this team win? And as you mentioned it, with Giannis and also with Joel Embiid, not a true rim protector. So in the East, for them to be able to get to the finals, it's going to be very difficult.
They're going to need Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart to be absolutely first team all defensive level players.
All right, let's talk about the Knicks now. After their big name signing of Julius Randle, they've gone on to add Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, Reggie Bullock, Wayne Ellington, and Elfrid Payton. See, what is the Knicks offseason blueprint?
Well, this is I talked to the Knicks. And I knew if they weren't going to get Kevin Durant, they were going to target Julius Randle. They had a lot of respect for his game, how he grew his game in New Orleans, 21-9, shooting 34% from three-point range. A lot of people never thought he'd have that in his game. And also, this is the only way that they could do it. If they couldn't get KD, they couldn't get Kawhi, they had to try to piece together a lineup. Let's look. This team won how many games last year? 15?
17.
Okay, they are a lot better. I think they got at least double those wins with that roster, because they do have some competent NBA players to be able to fill out that roster.
Here's my gripe with it. I don't mind the Julius Randle deal at all. It's a three-year deal, but you got a team option for that third year, and that's in 2 years when there'll be another good free agent crop.
Yes.
The rest of these deals, what I would have preferred to see them do is something similar to the Clippers did. Take on a bad contract in Mo Harkless and get a draft pick to go along with it. Use that salary cap space to take on NBA-level players that are overpaid and get some pick compensation. They went the other way, signing Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, those guys, Reggie Bullock at an overpay. That's my biggest concern, but I understand the Knicks saying, we can't be the worst team in the league again. We've got to do something after our fans thought they were getting KD and Kyrie.
And they had serious concerns about Kyrie's overall health and would he have the durability on those knees, and they questioned his leadership in year number one where KD wasn't going to be available to play.
And now Kyrie's crossed town with the Brooklyn Nets, ending with the Golden State Warriors now as they finalize a sign and trade with the Nets to land D'Angelo Russell. The question has shifted to how long D'Lo will be with the Warriors. According to a recent report, quote, it's just a matter of time till the Warriors trade D'Angelo in order to recoup from losing Kevin Durant. Nick, what'd you make of this report?
Okay, this now makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
Now it is, and I should have thought about this more yesterday when we were originally discussing it. If the move with D'Angelo Russell, because stylistically, he is so different than the Warriors. He doesn't get to the rim. He doesn't get to the free throw line. He's a really good player. He's just, he had individually nearly the exact same amount of pick and roll plays as the Warriors did as an entire team last season. He is as pick and roll centric a player as there is in the league. The Warriors, that is not the offense they run. They run what we were talking about before, ball movement. Mm-hmm. And so if the plan is use D'Angelo Russell to tread water next season, because we don't know when Clay's going to be back, and then next offseason, use D'Angelo Russell to recoup draft picks, or maybe more accurately, fill out your roster because he will have trade value, that does make sense. Now, I don't think it gets them anywhere close to the level of excellence we've seen from them over the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
but it is better than having that cap space just turn into nothing. Because if Kevin Durant left, they weren't going to have any cap space there. But it should be noted, see, this was not cost-free for them. This cost them Andre Iguodala, going to cost them a Quinn Cook, and most notably, two first-round picks. A first-round pick to Memphis to take Andre Iguodala, a first-round pick to Brooklyn, and we don't know which one it is, in order to make them agree to the sign-and-trade aspect of this. So this wasn't free money for them. Those two first-round picks could matter quite a bit. And I know you have some concerns while before the trade happens, if it does happen, D'Angelo in that locker room, the relationship with some of those guys. I get why they did it, but it wasn't cost-free, it wasn't risk-free. But this is what happens when you have a top four player in the world, Kevin Durant, walk out the door. You got to try to get something back for him. They got an all-star level guard, even if he doesn't fit what they do.
And he's the third highest paid on the roster immediately. And when you look at Draymond Green, and everything that he's done, looking to make that big payday that he's never gotten. I mean, he's well compensated in the old NBA, right, but now with all these new money, $3 billion, over $3 billion being spent in free agency thus far, Draymond Green, I could see having a problem. And also, just look at the Lakers' younger players. Now, he has matured. He's done a great job in Brooklyn. But look how they responded last year to the trade rumors. How would you like to be D'Angelo Russell? You've had a great year. You're a free agent. You talked about going to Timberwolves, going back to the Lakers, and now you're in Golden State, but
in limbo.
I might not. I can't make plans. Do I buy a house? Like, do I settle down? And then what if I struggle a little bit? Like, it's going to be difficult with Klay being out until at least March, what type of system they're going to create around him. And Draymond Green, how does he, when they're not the number one or number two seed in the Western Conference, who does Draymond Green,
take the frustration out on?
Yes. Who does he, because he always has a guy. And typically when you have a guy like Draymond, there's a guy that he can blow off steam with. They understand him. Even Boogie Cousins was one of those guys this year. He's gone. KD got some of that last year. What do they do? I believe ultimately it can be a problem.
And the money point that you brought up to me this morning for the show, I think it should be reiterated. D'Angelo Russell just signed 4 years, $117 million. That is an average of $29.25 million a year. He's going to make $27 million this year. Draymond Green is on the last year of a contract that will pay him $18 million. Draymond Green has won 3 championships. Draymond Green has been to 5 NBA Finals. Draymond Green has been a Defensive Player of the Year. Draymond Green just signed with Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. Maybe the Warriors lock him up now. I'm guessing they don't. I'm guessing they wait and see how he looks this season, how things go this season. And Draymond Green, looking at this 23-year-old, who's making 50% more money than him this year, who is on his third team in 5 years, how that is a real personality potential
clash.
Exactly right. And so I understand why they did it. And if they end up flipping him for a couple rotation pieces, one of those first round picks back in a year, that could make sense. If it helps them stay afloat until Klay comes back, it could make sense. But it is not risk free, and it wasn't cost free when you see Iggy go out the door, one of your best culture guys, and 2 first round picks also go out the door as well.
Dre probably won't say anything about it. He's a super chill, quiet guy. Moving on to Kyrie Irving. His decision to sign with the Nets came down to location, location, location. Kyrie took to Instagram to explain that he always wanted to play for his childhood team, the Nets, saying, quote, "Home is where my heart is." Kyrie will pair up with Kevin Durant in Brooklyn, but will most likely have to wait a year till KD actually sees the court. See, what are reasonable expectations when you don't have Kevin Durant in year one as he rehabs?
If Kyrie Irving can get Brooklyn back to the same position they were in this year in the playoffs.
And so just into the playoffs.
Into the playoffs. Win 42 to 45 games. If they can be that 9th, 8th, 7th seed in contention, because as Kevin Durant starts to feel a lot better, which he will in 6 months, most people that I've talked to, physical therapists that I've talked to, doctors, 6.5 months, Kevin Durant will be 100% healthy. Now, when they go on to the basketball court and play in NBA games, that will be determined later. But as Kevin Durant gets healthy, the team is swinging into playoff form. That be to me with Kyrie. And I've been to a lot of Nets games. I see how they cheer. I see how they do all kind of dances on the side. I saw the type of chemistry that they had with the coach. When the coach chews out a guy, man, they support the coach's decision. So I've seen this. So I need the team in the same position because I believe they are good enough that they should be able to win 40 games. And the overall chemistry, he's going to be responsible because KD can only do so much being injured. And I believe that both of them are very, very important. They can't win 30 games and then they say, you know something? We'll see Kevin Durant in 2020. No. We'd like to have the pressure of, is KD going to come back potentially for the playoffs, which I believe is real.
So I'm going to put the expectations where you have them, but just a bit higher. Because when I saw this question this morning, I thought about, okay, let's just pretend Brooklyn ran it back. that they didn't get any major free agent. Mm-hmm. They kept D'Angelo Russell, their young roster. They'll have Caris LeVert. They would hope for a full season after he dealt with that serious injury. They won 42 games last year. Wouldn't we be saying they should be 45, 46 wins? That they should be a little bit better, a young roster? Let's say they added DeAndre Jordan as well, as a little front court depth, which they did do, obviously.
Right. I'd like to be careful with that. I would say, man, I think that they can duplicate it. But even if they got to 42 wins, I think that, you know something? I think they're a better team because they're second year together. So I think it's reasonable to say, 3 to 8 wins, yes. But even if they were the same, they were going to be a better team,
right?
Yes.
But now they've got a player better than D'Angelo Russell.
True.
Now they kept their core. They re-signed Dinwiddie. LeVert's back. Jared Allen's back. Joe Harris back. We know all this, right? So I think for in the East this year, even if Kawhi leaves Toronto, I think the top three teams are going to be in some order, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Toronto. Toronto showed over the last few years, even last year, they can win games without Kawhi Leonard. And so those should be your top three seeds. Then there's four teams, Brooklyn, Indiana, Boston, and Miami with the addition of Jimmy Butler. 4, 5, 6, 7 in some order. What did we see in this year's playoffs? First round. Home team won every single round. You know what mattered? Home court in that first round. In fact, this year's playoffs, after the first round, there were only two road teams that won a series. It was when Portland upset Denver in 7, mm-hmm. and then Toronto won 4 straight against Milwaukee. Home court matters in this league. So for Kyrie Irving, after last year saying, I'm just focused on the playoffs, just wait, get me to the playoffs, here would be something if I were one of Kyrie's close, you know, advisors, I'd say to him, here should be one of your goals. Be better than Boston. Beat Boston. Boston at 49 wins with you. Brooklyn at 42 wins without you. Are you worth 4 wins in this thing? Is Boston going to take 4 wins back? You're going to go 4 wins forward? Then you'll be ahead of them. Can you get to that 4 line so it's a home playoff series in Brooklyn to where if KD comes back, it's like, hey.
That you know would be hot.
Now, all of a sudden, what one seed wants to face Kevin Durant if he were to come back with Kyrie Irving? So those, to me, are tangible goals. And then culture-wise, which I know is something that's important to you, Jenna, but also important to the NBA, set a tone for the young players so different. Do to take one of your lines, the bizarro Kyrie from last year. Whatever Kyrie would have done last year, do the opposite when it comes to the young players and creating and not even creating a culture in Brooklyn because they have one. Perpetuating, continuing the culture that was there
before he
got there.
That's a lot to ask of Kyrie because I felt like Boston had better players, supporting players last year around Kyrie than clearly the Nets are going to have next year. So all of a sudden you're saying be better than you were last year, be a better leader than you were, be better to the young guys, set a better cultural template. That's a lot to ask a guy who's coming into a new place, whether it's home or not home. Do you think Kyrie can do that?
One thing, I'm just going to believe in Kyrie because you don't have all the agendas that you had in Boston.
Yeah.
You had a lot of pressure outside. You have Tatum coming off the playoff run that he was on. He was in the offseason working out with Kobe Bryant. I heard people on TV. I almost said something. I'm glad I caught myself. But they said things like, oh, one day this guy's going to be an NBA scoring champion. So they fill his head with that. Jaylen Brown's trying to fight for respect. Gordon Hayward, he's got an agenda with the coach. And the coach's agenda is to make sure that this guy looks good, who I recruited from high school. Kyrie does not have to face that. And he picked this team. He did not pick the Boston Celtics. So all those things, they're hard when you are trying to become a leader. When you are in the shadow of LeBron James, you force your way out. You get into a situation that you realize that, you know something? I know it says I'm in the deep water and I've swam in deep water before, but it's a lot different when people are expecting you to be the captain to be able to calm things down. So I think Kyrie Irving learned an awful lot. He pulled off the biggest coup in free agency, and that's pulling Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant was going to the Knicks.
Right.
And Kyrie Irving's leadership or whatever you want to say, convincing him to come to Brooklyn with him, I'm going to give Kyrie some credit and give him another opportunity because he's still a young as far as leadership. And I believe leaders, they're some born, but they're also some developed. And I believe that's where Kyrie Irving is right now.
And if there's ever a moment where someone's going to change, grow, and mature, he is in the perfect situation for it. Not only because he picked Brooklyn, not only because this is the first place since Duke he's been able to pick. He's coming off his first sports failure of his life. He didn't fail at Duke. He got hurt. Each year with the Cavs, they weren't, before LeBron got there, they weren't good, but they got better each year. Then LeBron gets there. They make an NBA Finals, but he gets hurt. He doesn't get to play in them. The next year, they win the championship. The next year, that Cavs team was even better. They just ran into the Durant Warriors. Then he asks out. Boston's playing great, and then he gets hurt. Last year was the first year he's healthy. He has real expectations, and he can't deliver. Can that humbling moment, plus being able to pick the spot, plus playing with the guy he wanted to play with, that he got to pick the city in a team where there aren't those other agendas, guys aren't waiting to get paid, guys aren't waiting to prove themselves at what the way it was in Boston. If that doesn't cause maturation, if that doesn't cause growth, then nothing will. So I agree with Chris. I don't think we should close the door and say Kyrie's going to be this guy. Now, I think he's going to be an odd guy on the internet. I think that's who he is. But as far as in the locker room, I think he can be better in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn expects him to be better, especially while they wait on Kevin Durant.
Back here, first things first, we're joined by NBA champ Antoine Walker.
What up, man?
I'm Nick.
Hey, Antoine, how are you?
Good, good. How you doing?
You see, my family's like the Lakers behind the scenes. A lot of dysfunction.
No, we're all functioning.
I almost pulled a Magic Johnson. I'm out of here.
Yeah, Chris almost walked off the set.
Commercial breaks are great in this year part. Let's talk Anthony Davis, Antoine, and his recent decisions to put success and happiness over money. AD passed up the chance to sign a Supermax deal with the Pelicans. He turned down his $4 million trade kicker to create more cap space on the Lakers. To the brow, it was simple, saying, quote, money comes and goes, but your legacy is forever. He's also good with the basketball. Antoine, what will be the biggest challenge for Anthony Davis when he starts playing for the Lakers?
Well, obviously, I think the challenge is up front, that he's willing to sacrifice, one, his money and waiving the trade clause so they know they can get better and possibly let another max guy. So that's the first step. And then the other step is, now you got to understand, it's still LeBron's legacy. I mean, you're going to go there and everything is going to kind of still be based around LeBron James early on in the beginning to kind of figure out how they can make this twosome work. It could be a great twosome if it works out. But I think in New Orleans, he knew he couldn't get another superstar. It was not going to be a big landing spot for free agency. He had to make a decision of whether or not to take the money or go to a situation where he can ultimately compete. This is a guy that won a national title at Kentucky. So he wants to win, and he's going to still make over $200 million next summer. So he's still going to be able to make some of that money. And being in L.A., he may make up for some of that money as well. But I think he made the decision. When he made the decision to, one, go to L.A. and to give up everything he had built in New Orleans, he knew what he was getting himself into. And it was going to be some sacrifice made. Obviously, he sacrificed his money, obviously, to do that. But then basketball-wise, it's going to be a different step now going in there playing with LeBron. It's going to take some time. You got to go back and think about LeBron when he joined D-Wade and Chris Bosh. It took a while. They didn't win it the first year, and then the second year they got some better players around them. So it's going to be a process in trying to build a championship type team.
But Nick, I think we sometimes forget how young he is. I mean, he's not on the same age level and place in life as LeBron James. He still has plenty of time to create his own legacy, to take what he did in New Orleans and make it work for him in a bigger and better way in Los Angeles.
Right, but now is the time. He stops being a young player the moment he put that jersey on. First of all, he's now at the point in his career where he's supposed to be beginning the absolute apex prime of his career. He was so good so early. That's one of the things that worked against him in New Orleans, if we're being honest. With the old regime, he was an MVP type of player by year two, you could argue, certainly year three, which made them try to microwave the process instead of taking the slower, longer-term approach. They trade picks for Drew Holiday. They want to surround him with talent immediately, and they're not able to get over the hump. But I want to emphasize the point Antoine made, because we just take it as a given, the money he left on the table. The money he left on the table in New Orleans, that's real money. When he gets to L.A., the $4 million that he just flatly turned down, and people say, oh, he'll make that in Space Jam. No, he will not. I can tell you right now, Anthony Davis was signed up for Space Jam well before he was a Los Angeles Laker, months before he was a Los Angeles Laker. The idea that all of a sudden, oh, they're just paying him under the... No, he made the commitment to winning, to trying to get to a place where he could win, and sacrificing money to where they can add talent so he can win. This is all about winning for Anthony Davis. The only way this works, the only way this makes sense, the only way this was a success is if they make an NBA Finals, in the next couple years and win a championship. Like, that is, when you're talking about a player of his caliber, he has a skill set to go along with his size profile of no one else in the league. When he was a consensus number one overall pick, it's because, well, this guy will win an MVP and this guy will be the best player on a championship team. Those are the only two things he hasn't done. And the second one, he hasn't even come close to. He's been in the second round once. And so it's about Anthony Davis. Yeah, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to be a good teammate. He's always been a good teammate. He's got to play both ends. He's always played both ends. Can he do it in the biggest spots? Can he learn from LeBron as far as maintenance on his body to try to make sure those ticky-tack injuries don't knock him out for a week or two the way they have in the past? Those are the things that lead to the winning. And that's all this is for Anthony. That's the only way for this question to be answered correctly is for the Lakers to win a championship in relatively short order with Anthony Davis.
I believe that the transition is going to be a lot easier. I disagree with you as far as LeBron and them. I know it was difficult for them, but the situation was different. Chris Bosh, we thought Chris Bosh was a good player, but Chris Bosh had to change his game to be able to fit in on D-Wade's team and LeBron James still being the biggest name, and LeBron was not a champion then. So they had a certain, before the game starts, there's a certain number of shots that they got to get before the game starts. Wade's got to get his shots, Chris Bosh got to get his shots, and LeBron's got to be able to get his shots. In Los Angeles, he doesn't have to worry about that. And the best thing about them not having a roster now, you don't have no established players. Besides Kuz, Kuz's going to get his no matter what. But you don't have guys that you have to, oh, because he's got a reputation. We got to run some sets for him. It's going to be what LeBron and AD want to run from the beginning. And AD, the last several off seasons, he's made his home in Los Angeles. So he doesn't have to make that adjustment to the big city life, Los Angeles, how to get to certain places. What's it going to be like? He loves the weather there. He's used to the weather. That's where he always wanted to be. So those things, when you become a big time free agent, they make your transition a lot easier. And LeBron, this is the easiest transition of any superstar that he's had. I mentioned the two as far as Bosh and Wade. Look at Kyrie Irving. That took the ball out of his hand when LeBron got there. Kevin Love was like a fish out of water. He had never seen traveling around with LeBron. It was like traveling with the Beatles. So I do believe that like Kevin Durant, who didn't have a championship, that transition, he went from OKC to Golden State was so smooth, we were just waiting on the playoff. I believe AD, it might be a little because the rest of the rosters have to be filled out, but I believe this is going to be one of the smoother transitions, Antoine, that we've seen as far as a superstar.
I think it's two. I think off the court is going to be great because LeBron will get him in place. But what's going to be great, he's going to learn how to work on his body. LeBron's been the most durable player probably to ever play the game. We obviously, he'll learn that because he needs to figure out how to get 75 games a year as a player. I think also we got to look at, too, what he's going to learn off the court. It's going to be a process. When you get in the playoffs and you get in these battles, he's got a guy he can lean on now. I remember playing with Shaq and D-Wade. I never played in these type of games, in these magnitudes, and understanding the situations, but I had a D-Wade. I had a Shaquille O'Neal, more so Shaquille O'Neal.
Right, because Shaq had been there.
Yeah, so Shaq had been there, a guy I can lean on. We was down 0-2 in the finals. That was the guy that led our locker room to keep us confident, that believed that we can come back and win four straight games. That's what LeBron is going to be beneficiary to Anthony Davis moving forward. He's going to teach him how to be a leader. And I think he got a little taste of that with Rondo, playing with somebody with some championship experience. But outside of that, in his career, he's never had that. So that's what I mean about it's going to be a process. And he already took the right steps in giving up money because he knows he's going to need other players to get over this hump.
Back here with Antoine Walker, talking Kevin Durant. After just three seasons with the Warriors, Joe Lacob announced that as long as he's running the team, no one's going to wear KD's number 35 jersey, even though number 35 is no longer on the team. And why is that exactly? Well, according to reports, Kevin Durant had grown weary of perpetual drama in Golden State, both on and off the court, ultimately taking his talents to Brooklyn. Antoine, what do you think? Did the Warriors take KD for granted?
I don't think they took it for granted. I think it's a nice gesture by the ownership to do this. They really didn't have to do it. But they're paying respect to the two NBA championships that he brought them. Obviously, he was terrific in the finals. They were able to dominate two LeBron teams in the finals strictly because of him. I thought he was the best player in the finals. So I think they're paying respect to that. I don't think Kevin Durant really wanted to be in in Golden State long term. I think he made the move. He wanted to win. I think he felt like he needed to make a move to get on LeBron's level. I think he wanted to be in a situation. He knew if he didn't win a championship, he couldn't be considered in the same conversation with LeBron James. That's why I think he made that move. It was the best team, obviously, to join. And he took full advantage of it. He won a title with it. But I think the negativity that came, I don't think he believed the negativity that came with joining Golden State was going to happen.
No.
I think he thought that it was going to be, you know, peaches and cream. It was going to be good. But he got a
lot
of negativity.
They were going to treat him like Steph.
No, they weren't going to do that. But that's what he thought.
That's what he hoped or thought.
Yeah, I don't know why he thought that. Those guys built that. You got to go back to Draymond Green drafting him. Klay Thompson was drafted there. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry. Those guys built that back with Mark Jackson. Obviously, Steve Kerr was there to come and get them over the hump. So they built that. That was their team. But obviously, they knew they needed to add a piece to be able to compete against LeBron James. And it didn't work out that way. So I think it's great that the ownership decided to, you know, make some type of gesture for him. But they didn't have to do it.
Listen, Kevin Durant started to, at least partially, regret his decision to go there the moment he made it. That isn't speculation. This is on the record reporting, confirmed by KD, that the day after, July 5th, 2016, he hits up his agent and says, "Why did you let me bleep up my life?" Because of the reaction to him going to Golden State. 1 year later, he has won a championship, he has won finals MVP, and done it in storybook fashion, literally hitting the shot that sealed the finals right over LeBron in the most critical moment. We were at that game, Chris. Mm-hmm. The game where Korver misses the three. The Cavs looked like they could be right there in that series. And Durant hits the shot that switches the game, wins them that title, put him up 3-0. What is he doing weeks later? On burner accounts, relitigating his OKC tenure and decision. Go a few months after that, January of his second season there. The Warriors are worried that season he's out the door. David West talked to us about that. We heard about that then after the fact. This offseason, he, according to Howard Beck, is already plotting, we're talking about a year ago now, leaving and going with Kyrie Irving all year long. He is honestly not asked that often about the free agency thing. He finally is asked about it, and he blows up at Ethan Sherwood Strauss because Ethan knew what we knew, which is that he and Kyrie had been talking about playing together. I say all that to say this. The drama was self-inflicted. I don't blame Kevin Durant for leaving. I think it was the smart thing for him. The only legacy mountain he has left to climb is one that he now has the ability to climb. He was ineligible to climb it in Golden State. He needed to go out on his own and not go west, young man, go east, young man, and try to go win a championship. But the drama is not why he left. He left because what he was searching for, fulfillment and friendship, according to Marcus Thompson, he never found in Golden State. Not the level of fulfillment, not the level of friendship. So he went with a very close friend, Kyrie Irving, and a place in Brooklyn that if he delivers them a championship, no one can question it. So that's why he left, not because of drama that he mostly caused himself.
So you don't think the Warriors could have done anything differently, played their hand any differently when it came to Kevin Durant?
No. No, they couldn't have done any more. He was going to leave. When he signed with them, it was a matter of they were eventually going to get divorced. Get you a prenup, all right? Because she's going to take a portion of it.
I like
it. All right? So that was from the beginning. If you know Kevin Durant as a person, you didn't think he was going to retire. Golden State did all they could do. And I give Golden State some respect for retiring his jersey. When you bring two championships, they only got six. They won one, I think, in 47, 48, won one in the mid-50s, won one in 75. And since Steph and them, they had one. But there was another dude playing basketball named LeBron James. As much as they love Steph, as much as they love Klay, Draymond, good basketball player, they did not have an answer for LBJ. And that's why they signed Kevin Durant. And that's why his number should be retired in the Raptors. He is a legendary player. Man, I learned this from Pat Riley. Pat Riley and all his battles against Michael Jordan. Man, Pat Riley, out of respect, retired number 23 in Miami.
For a team Michael never played for.
No, right.
Yes, and that's just out of respect for who he was as a basketball player. They should have respect for what they saw. They saw Kevin Durant come to the gym, work on his game like no other player they had ever seen, doing drills and stuff they had never, ever seen. They got respect for it, and that's why 35 should be in the rafters for them.
And just to add to that, I think people got to understand, and Chris, you understand this, Nick, you understand this. I think that Draymond Green argument was the icing on the cake.
Yep.
People may try to downplay that, but you think about it, because if you're my boy, and we get in the argument, it's certain things I'm still not going to say to you. No
Absolutely.
Matter.
The nuclear option.
No matter how mad I am at you, I got some homeboys. I be want to say certain things, take it there. But I'm not going to do that out of respect. I think Draymond Green took it to another level. He showed KD that, listen, we can win without you. We won without you. He said some things that you probably should have never said.
And you'll never be welcome here like we are.
And he never, I think Draymond Green, I think the whole team was frustrated that he never handled the free agency question the right way.
The right way. And they should have been. By the way, that was a misstep by Kevin Durant. I'm sorry, but the way LeBron or Kawhi did it, which is, I will deal with it after the year. LeBron is last year in Cleveland. He, before the season, had an opening press conference, said, ask me anything you want, and opened it all up one time. And then the things such as free agency said, okay, not again. And guys, and journalists can ask, but they knew not to. And it was Durant kept flirting with the option, just not as bad as Kyrie did, where Kyrie commits and then says, I don't know anyone, bleep, like those things. Golden State made two mistakes. One was Bob Myers, his joke at the rally after their second championship, saying, oh, well, Steph got whatever contract he wanted, but he really earned it. We don't know about Kevin. Bob Myers shouldn't have done that, and Draymond obviously shouldn't have done what he did. But the one misplaced joke and one argument do not make you turn down 5 years, $221 million off a torn Achilles unless you were planning to turn down 5 years, $221 million.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.